40 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, there was a dramatic increase in the number of murders that took place in Eretz Yisrael. And as a result of this increase in the murders, the Sanhedrin HaGadol decided, they took it upon themselves to leave the Lishkas HaGazis, to leave the chamber of hewn stone in the Beit HaMikdash, where ordinarily the Sanhedrin sat and judged, and they exiled themselves to a place called Chanos, which is either in Yerushalayim or it's on the Har HaBayis. And by exiling themselves, they hoped to accomplish something in terms of either exonerating themselves from responsibility for these murders or something of a similar vein. And it's actually a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramah what they hope to accomplish, and I want to get to that in a second. But first I want to mention as a quick aside what the Netziv says about what contributed to this increase in murders. The Netziv, in his Tshuvos, in Simin Mem Dalet, writes that what contributed to this rise in murders was not that suddenly the land became more lawless and they were highway robbers who robbed people and murdered them. Chas v'shalom. We shouldn't say such things about Klal Yisrael. The Netziv claims that this increase in murders was an increase in murders which were l'shem shemayim, because a person can look at another person and say, oh, he's an apikores, he's a tzeduki, he's one of those people about whom the halacha is moridim v'lo malim, that you're supposed to get rid of him. At least back in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Chazon Ish has a famous piece about that. But basically, the Netziv argues that these were not murders that were selfish, but rather these were murders that were l'shem shemayim. One way or another, however, there was this increase in murders, and as a result, the Sanhedrin decided to leave the Lishkas HaGazis and to exile themselves to the Chanos. Why exactly did they do this? So the Ramah says that they did it because the closer a person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the closer he is to the Shekhinah, the closer he is to a makom of Hashras HaShekhinah, the more responsibility he has to take. Just like we find that those tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medactic with them kichot hasara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges tzaddikim much more strictly than he judges ordinary people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to send a malach to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael because he was afraid that if he himself were in their midst, so then perhaps they would do something which ordinarily wouldn't be considered such a stringent avera, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there and they're doing it anyhow, that suddenly ups the stakes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to punish them more harshly. So therefore he wanted to send a malach, because any time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, or when a person is closer to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they're held to stricter standards. So the Sanhedrin decided, look, you know, we're not able to deal with this, we're not able to get rid of this plague of murderers in Eretz Yisrael, and we don't want to be held this very strong degree of responsibility that comes along with staying in the Lishkas HaGazis, so therefore we're going to leave the Lishkas HaGazis. And they left. Did their leaving the Lishkas HaGazis change anything about the murderers? Did it change anything about the ability of people to try the murderers, l'chora? It did not change anything, says the Ramah. That when they're out of the Lishkas HaGazis, they are still allowed to put murderers on trial and to execute murderers. When they're out of the Lishkas HaGazis, other Bati Din, any basin that has 23 people, is still allowed to put murderers on trial and execute murderers. The only reason that they left is in order to decrease their passable onish. The Yad Ramah also says that maybe another reason that they left was in order to be mefarsim, to let everyone know that they're no longer trying capital cases, that was in order to let people know that they're no longer going to try capital cases, but it certainly doesn't impact on their ability to try capital cases should they choose to do so. And in this, the Ramah seems to be supported by a Gemara earlier in the Masechta that says that from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Misos Beis Din became Batel, there no longer are Arba Misos Beis Din from the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, and instead there's the equivalent Misa Bidei Shamayim, a person who's Chayef Skila is going to fall off a roof, etc. So the Gemara says, from the day of the Churban HaBayis, it doesn't say from 40 years before Churban HaBayis, when the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGazis, that's when there's no longer any capital punishment, because when the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGazis, capital punishment is still in effect. It's only when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, now there's no longer Kohen Gadol, there's a hekesh between Kohen Gadol and Mishpat, and when there's no Kohen Gadol anymore, so there can no longer be any Mishpat or any Dinei Nefashos. But until then, even though the Sanhedrin HaGadol was not on Lishkas HaGazis, there could still be capital cases. This is the opinion of the Ramah. However, Rashi and Tosfos both dispute this opinion, and the arguments of Rashi and Tosfos are based on two premises. The first premise that it's based on is that the Sanhedrin HaGadol, when it's outside of the Lishkas HaGazis, when it's outside of this chamber of hewn stone in the Beis HaMikdash, no longer is considered a Sanhedrin HaGadol. True, each individual judge, right, who comprises the basin of 71 people still retains his ID card that identifies him as a member of the court, but even when all 71 people get together in some other location, says Rashi, they don't constitute a body known as a Sanhedrin HaGadol. They constitute just another basin of 71 people. It's not the Sanhedrin HaGadol. That's what Rashi seems to say. And he learns this out from Halacha by Zakin Mamre. Zakin Mamre is a chacham, somebody who's qualified to give a psak, who argues on the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And the Sanhedrin HaGadol give him a psak, and he goes and paskins against that psak, or he acts against that psak. So even though he's somebody who's capable of giving a psak on his own, he's not allowed to go against the psak of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So therefore, he's put to death in order to make sure that halacha remains unified and that Sanhedrin HaGadol has ultimate control of all halachic decision-making. So this Zakin Mamre can only become a Zakin Mamre if he argues on a psak which the Sanhedrin hand down to him when they are in the Lishkas HaGazis. If he happens to come across the Sanhedrin HaGadol when they're out of the Lishkas HaGazis, then even though they give him a psak, and he acts against that psak, he cannot become a Zakin Mamre. So the Ramah says, this is a special halacha about Zakin Mamre. You can't generalize from here. The Sanhedrin HaGadol remains the Sanhedrin HaGadol wherever they may be. However, there's a special halacha in the halachos of Zakin Mamre that he can only be put to death if he disobeyed a ruling that was handed down to him from the Lishkas HaGazis. But when the Sanhedrin leave the Lishkas HaGazis, that only impacts on Hilchos Zakin Mamre. It does not impact on their general status as a Sanhedrin. In contrast, Rashi and Tosfos both seem to say that we can generalize from there. It's not simply a prat in the halachos of Zakin Mamre that when they leave, that the Zakin Mamre cannot become chayev for arguing on them, but rather, when they leave, they're no longer the same Sanhedrin HaGadol that they were when they were in Lishkas HaGazis. And the same way that they're not that same Sanhedrin HaGadol that they were in the Lishkas HaGazis with regard to Zakin Mamre, they're also not that same Sanhedrin HaGadol when it comes to Dinei Nefashos. Sanhedrin HaGadol in the Lishkas HaGazis, that's like the power stone, that's like the battery for all Dinei Nefashos in all of Eretz Yisrael. They power any Dinei Nefashos that takes place. When they're out of the Lishkas HaGazis, they lose the shame, they lose the identity as a Sanhedrin HaGadol, and having lost their identity as a Sanhedrin HaGadol, there's no longer any battery, there's no longer any power source for Dinei Nefashos all over Eretz Yisrael. So these are the two hanachos of Rashi. Number one, Rashi assumes that we can learn from Zakin Mamre that a Sanhedrin HaGadol out of the Lishkas HaGazis is no longer a Sanhedrin HaGadol. It's only a collection of Dayanim who all happen to be affiliated with Sanhedrin HaGadol. And second of all, he learns that once there's no longer any body called Sanhedrin HaGadol, so then there's no longer any power for any Beis Din anywhere to judge Dinei Nefashos. As we saw, the Ramah disputes the first assertion of Rashi and says that the Sanhedrin, even out of the Lishkas HaGazis, still is called Sanhedrin HaGadol. We can get into an aside over here because there are times when the Sanhedrin HaGadol has to leave Lishkas HaGazis, to do Egla Arufa, when they catch a murderer in between two cities, so the Sanhedrin HaGadol has to leave and they have to be modeed, they have to measure which city is closest. And there are other occasions also they have to leave the Lishkas HaGazis when they go to add on to a place to be Mekadesh, a certain Makom with Kedushas Yerushalayim, so they have to leave. So Rashi is going to say that all that's required in those circumstances is that card-carrying members of the Sanhedrin HaGadol have to be present, but not that the august body known as the High Court has to be present. Rather, it means that there has to be a certain number of card-carrying members of that body. The Ramah might say in that case, and no, that what needs to be present is the Sanhedrin HaGadol, because it's certainly possible for the Sanhedrin HaGadol to exist even outside of Lishkas HaGazis. So again, this is the first Hanacha, the first assumption of Rashi, that they lose their shame Sanhedrin HaGadol once they leave, and the Ramah disputes that. The Ramah also disputes the second Hanacha of Rashi. Rashi argues that once the body known as Sanhedrin HaGadol no longer exists or no longer is together, so therefore all Dinei Nefashos grind to a halt. And presumably The reason that Rashi holds this is because all dini nefashos essentially stem, there anyone who judges dini nefashos, capital cases, in Eretz Yisrael, is doing so as a shliach, as an agent of the Sanhedrin HaGadol in the Lishkas HaGazis. And a little bit of a raya to this is the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah in the Masechta, which says that we don't appoint courts of Chaf Gimel, courts of 23, who are capable of judging capital cases without the permission of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So Rashi might tell you that this means that any court of 23 is really simply functioning as a shliach of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. They're not independent, you know, courts who are judging capital cases. They're agents of the Sanhedrin HaGadol in Lishkas HaGazis. That's what Rashi might say. So therefore, when the Sanhedrin HaGadol dissolves, when the Sanhedrin HaGadol loses its capacity to judge dini nefashos, because it's no longer the Sanhedrin HaGadol, it's just another group of 23 people, then all the other groups of 23 people that they appointed, that are their agents, also lose the power to judge dini nefashos. And on this assertion, the Ramah seems to argue, the Ramah seems to say that it's not true. Even if I were to grant you that when the Sanhedrin HaGadol dissolves when it leaves the Lishkas HaGazis, he says, even if I were to grant you that it's as if all the members, Chas V'Shalom, that they died right after they left the Lishkas HaGazis, it's as if they're no longer alive. There are no card-carrying members even of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Says the Ramah, even so, the Bati Din, which they ordained, the Bati Din of 23 people, whom they gave permission to judge capital cases to, can continue carrying on capital cases. L'chaora, this parallels an interesting machlokas in the Rivash. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but basically, the Rivash points out that smicha de'araisa, the smicha that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, can be passed on even though its original source no longer exists. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer around, but even in the days of the Tanaim, when Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer around, people were capable of giving smicha. Smicha is independent of its source. It's not like a shlichos from the original person, but rather each samuch is like a replica of the original person, and he has all the powers of the original person, and his authority is no longer dependent on the continued existence of the original person who was somek. In contrast, says the Rivash, netilas rishos, getting permission or authority from the Rish Galusa or from the Nasi in Bavel or in Eretz Yisrael, when there's no longer a Rish Galusa, there's no longer a Nasi, so then that authority, that rishos that one accepted from them that entitled the person to judge cases and not be liable if he made a mistake, that authority goes away. So in other words, let's say that the institution of the Reish Galusa were to become null and void in the lifetime of a person who accepted Rishos from the Reish Galusa. The Rivash says that that person, the Rishos would be worthless for them, because it's like a shlichos, it's like agency. They're an agent of the Reish Galusa to judge this case. They're not judging it on their own. And therefore, if the Reish Galusa is gone, there's that rule in shlichos in general, that almost all shlichos, once the mishaleach, the one who creates the agency, goes away or passes away, so too the shliach also no longer has the power of the one who made him an agent. So l'chaora, it seems that Rashi is going to learn that the Bati Din of 23 are more akin to shlichos, and therefore once the mishaleach, the body known as Sanhedrin HaGadol, becomes null and void, so the shluchim also lose their power, whereas the Ramah will learn that it's less like a shlichos, it's more like the smicha of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Sanhedrin HaGadol basically creates an independent, self-sufficient body, which is like a replica almost of Sanhedrin HaGadol for some things, when they give a Sanhedrin permission to judge capital cases, and therefore their permission to judge capital cases outlasts them. And there are some other nafkaminas passively from this machlokas, and one can bring rayos both ways, but I just wanted to make the ha'ara, two hanachos of Rashi. Number one, Sanhedrin HaGadol is batal when aliv lishkas hagazis. Number two, that the Bati Din of 23 are shluchim almost of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and the Ramah disputes both of these hanachos and claims that the Sanhedrin HaGadol exists as a body even outside of the Lishkas HaGazis, and that even if they were to cease to exist, nevertheless, the Bati Din of 23 would be able to carry on administering capital justice, because they're not shluchim of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, but rather they're self-sufficient and independent legal bodies.